God bless you, Sister Treva. Appreciate that good talk. This is the Lord's service. I want to share some scripture with you from the 30th chapter of Genesis. I want to read just a few verses, beginning with verse 25. If you want to read along, turn to Genesis chapter 30. I want to read verses 25 through 27. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And those are the verses I want to read for a scripture reading today. I want to bring before you today a message entitled, Those Whom I Have Known. And I want to ask you to please pray that the Lord would grant free course to His Word today. I'm glad and thankful today that I've thought about this many times, that in God creating us, that He gave us memory. I mean, isn't it a great blessing that we can remember things? Think about what it would be like if we, every day that we got up, that we started a new day, that all that we were able to know was what was happening right then, that we couldn't have any memory or couldn't have any ability to reflect on things of the past. I'm glad that God gave us the ability to remember. There are those that I have known, those that you have known, that have already passed through the scene of time and have ended their journey. I'm glad that I can remember them. Thankful that I can reflect upon things that I knew about them and remember things that they said and things that they did while I had the privilege of knowing them. I want to begin this message where it ought to begin. And that's with the Lord. Above everything else, I'm so thankful that on my sojourn here that I met the Lord. There's nobody like Him. I mean, there's just no, you know, you just can't know anybody that would be like knowing the Lord. He has been my best friend in life. You know, I know there's a saying, and I'm sure that all of you have heard it. I know it's an innocent saying in the way that it's intended, but there's been a saying for years that a dog is a man's best friend. No, they're not. I love dogs, but they're not man's best friend. The Lord has been my best friend. There have been people that I have known in this world that have befriended me. And I thank God for them today. Did you ever stop and think throughout the course of your life, no matter how many years that you live, have you ever stopped and think about how few of the people that you're really going to meet? I don't know how many people are living in this world right now. But if we could come up right at this moment at 11:45, if we could come up with an exact number of the people that are living in this world, within just a matter of seconds, somebody else would be born and the number would change. I don't know how many people are living in this world, but I know that we live in a big world, and we live in a heavily populated world. And I realize that as we go through our journey of life, in comparison to the people that are in the world, for all of us, we are truly going to meet just a few of them. We're not going to meet a very high percentage of them at all. You could be born even in a town the size of Bowling Green. You could be born here. You could grow up here. You could go to school here. You could get married and raise a family here and live here until you die, and you still would not meet everybody even in the town that you live in. We're not going to know very many people as we pass through this life in comparison to those the number of people that there are in the world. But I am sure thankful for those that I have been privileged to know. I believe that Laban felt that way. I've never, honestly, in the years of my ministry, there's only been one time that I've ever used these scriptures as a sermon text. That was in a funeral when I preached Sister Rena Rigglewood's funeral. Sister Edith Lowe's sister, I used these verses because I felt that way about her, that my life had been enriched by knowing that dear lady, that I have been blessed for her sake, that I have been blessed because of her. And, you know, in the beginning, and if we go back to the beginning of the book of Genesis, we read about the fact that God created the world and all things that are in it. No matter what anybody says, I believe that. I believe that God is the creator of this world and all things that are in it. And we read there that on the sixth day that God created man. Now I know that, as I've already said, there's nobody like the Lord, and there's nobody that you could know that would be any better than knowing the Lord. But I'll tell you what I believe the next best thing to knowing the Lord is the privilege of knowing people. If we go back there in the book of Genesis and consider what we read about the creation, when God created all of this, the world and all things in it, we read that man, people, were the only thing in his entire creation that he created in his own image and after his own likeness. Nobody else but man, or nothing else but man, was created after the image of God. And there, when God created man from the dust of the earth, that there was a time when the only one on earth was Adam. But God, through his provision and through his care for Adam, he said, it is not good that the man should be alone. And so we know that God put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib from him, and with that he made another person. He made Eve. He brought her unto Adam. He gave her unto Adam to be his companion, his helpmate. He gave her to him, and he united them in marriage. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply, to procreate, to have babies, to replenish the earth with people. God made the earth for people to dwell on. And so Adam and Eve, they did what God had told them to do. And people have done that since that time. And we realize today that we all go back, no matter how many different directions we go, we realize today that every human that is living or ever has lived or ever will live, we all go back, right back to Adam and Eve. They are our parents. We may go through and will go through many generations and in many different directions, but that's where we will all end up. Adam and Eve were the parents of the human race. But God, obviously, by what he had told them, he wanted the earth to be filled with people. And I'm going to tell you something today, regardless of how that they have treated him, regardless of what has been done to him. You know, there's another thing about people. I said that, you know, people were the only thing that were ever created after the image of God and in his likeness. But there's something else too that can only be said about people, and that is that in all of God's creation, of all the things that we read about there that God created and put here on the earth, man was the one that disobeyed him. Man treated God bad. Man wronged God. But despite what people have done to the Lord, and despite what they are doing to him still today, the Lord loves people. He does. I mean, he loved people. When we read in the scriptures, you know, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's not talking about the cosmos world. That's not talking about the mountains and the earth and the streams and the things that we see. God so loved people so much that he gave his only begotten son. Gave him for us, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And lost friend, today I want you to know something, that is what God desires for you above everything else in this world. That is God's ultimate desire towards all people, that above everything else they would come to know his darling son. That's what God wants. God wants that for you more. You know, I've made this statement before, and I'll make it again. I've not held back. I've made it known to the church how I feel about this. I get so tired of hearing, you know, these things that are said all the time about how that God just wants you to prosper in this world, and how that God wants you to be rich. And I mean, there's people that are telling people that they're pretending, that they may be very sincere in thinking it, but they, many of them, listen, they're not really preachers. They have chosen themselves for that task. They have no calling from God, and it seems like that's all that they're telling people, is that God wants you to have the things of this world. He wants you to be rich in this world. I'll tell you, listen, lost friend, I'll tell you what God wants for you today. He wants you to meet his son. He wants you to get ready to live in a better world than this. He wants you to be able to say that you know that you have been saved by God's grace. The Lord wants to give you riches that are well beyond the riches of this world. He wants to give you something today that will last eternally. And this world is not my home today. How about you? This world is not my home. This world is not where my treasure is. This world is a temporary place for me. I'm just passing through this world, and I know that my journey is not going to last very long. I've got something beyond this veil of tears that's way better than anything that I've ever known here, and I'm looking forward to being with God's Son. I am. I'm looking forward in my heart to seeing my Jesus. Sister Treva, I don't know what it's going to be like. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of man, the things that God have prepared for them that love him. But I know in heaven that I'm going to see Jesus. I know I'm going to see him there. I know that he is the desire of that place. I know that seeing Jesus is going to be the very climax of being in heaven. That's what it's all about, seeing the Lord and being in his presence. I look forward to that day. Have anticipated it many times. Have thought about it many times. What it'll be like to see the one that died for me. I'm sure glad that I'm saved. And I sure hope and pray that all of you that haven't been saved, I pray that you'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do. I enjoyed Brother Moran's sermon this morning on the old-fashioned gospel hour. I listened to him preaching this morning, and I loved what he was talking about there. He was trying to get it across to the people that you can know about God and that you can know God and that they are two different things. And they are. I could give you my Bible today and you could read it, and there are a lot of things that you could learn in here. You could gain a lot of knowledge from this Bible about God. You could learn a lot about God, but that's not what I'm talking about. And I want you to come to know the Lord. I mean to personally know the Lord Jesus. That's what happens in salvation. I'm sure, I don't have any doubt in my mind that there's many scholars in the world today that have a lot more knowledge about him than what I do, but they don't really have what I've got. Knowing him is what's important, isn't it? I mean, really knowing the Lord, really having that personal relationship with him, really having experienced what the Bible says when it said the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Friends, I'm telling you today, there was a time in my life when that happened to me. There was a time in my life when I was crying out to God and the Holy Spirit moved upon my heart and made it known to me that I had been saved, that I had truly come to know the Son of God. I know him. I don't just know, I'd like to know more about him, but I'm more thankful that I know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. I'm thankful today that Adam and Eve replenished the earth. Thankful they did what God told them to do. That they were fruitful. That they multiplied. That they replenished the earth. That there were children born to them. And that there were children born to their children. And to their children's children. And they listened to God. And here we are today. And I believe that there, you know, those of us that are here today, if we think about this, we can understand, I believe, what Laban was speaking about here and what he felt in this. I believe that he felt like that it had been a great benefit to him in his life to know Jacob. I believe and feel today that there have been those that I have been privileged to know in this life that it has been a great benefit to me to know them. And listen, I want you to understand today that the people that we meet when we pass through this life, I believe that God brings people together. I don't think that everybody that we meet in this life or everybody that we develop a relationship with in this life just happens, is just mere happenstance. I believe that God's providence is involved in that. And he brings lives together. I remember reading in the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel how that David had been talking with King Saul. And the Bible says that when he had made an end of speaking, that the soul of Jonathan and the soul of David were knit together, and that Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. And I'll tell you what I believe about it. When those two souls, the soul of Jonathan and the soul of David, were knit together, it was God that had the needles in his hands, knitting those souls together. And if you read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, you'll find there that that's what he wants for the people of God, that our souls would be knit together in love. And only God can do that. Think about the people in your life. For many of us, think about the large number of people that there are in the world today. Big world, big population, lots of different orders of religion, lots of different types of teaching today. Some of them, some of the religious teachings in the world today don't even revolve around the true and living God at all. But you think about all of the religions that are in the world today. What a blessing that it is to be born among people, to be born into a family where you were a privilege to be exposed to the truth of God's word. What a blessing in this big world that we live in that some of us were privileged. What a great blessing for those that didn't have that privilege. What a great blessing for those that were not raised up that way, for those who were not exposed to the truth, for God to bring somebody along their to God to join their paths with somebody and bring someone along the way that would influence them, that would tell them about what the Lord can do for them, that would bring them into this. You know, when I'm out in Bowling Green, and I want you to know this today, and I mean this with all my heart, with all sincerity, when I'm out in Bowling Green from time to time and I meet people and I talk to them, and I invite them to come to our services, to come to our church. You know, one of the great things that I want in that is I want them to come and be with you people. It's not just, I want them to hear the word of God. I do. But I want them to be among you. I want them to experience the love that can be experienced here. I believe it'll be a great blessing to them. What a wonderful thing it is to know in your life that you've been in contact with people, that you've been associated with people, that you know truly had love for you. What a great blessing that really is. And I'll tell you, of all of the love on earth, all the filial love, the level of love at a human level, doesn't even compare to the agape love of God. I'll tell you, those friends, not only did God save my soul when I cried out to Him for life and salvation, not only did God save my soul and give me the privilege of knowing His Son in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, but God brought me among a people that I believe are the finest people on earth. And if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say it just to build somebody up. I wouldn't say it to puff anybody up. I believe the people of God are the finest people on earth. And I don't believe that it's because of them. I don't believe that it's because of some great moral advantage or something they've got. I believe it's because God has put His love down in their heart. I have never in my life experienced the type of relationship that I have with the people of God with anybody in the world. I never have. I have never been able to feel the same thing from somebody in the world. I have never been able to feel that same bond, that same spirit, that same kindred that I feel with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I thank God for the people that He has brought into my life. I want to tell you something, and I want to express a thankfulness for this. You know, from time to time, somebody will send us a card. Somebody will send a card and said, we're thankful the Lord brought you our way. Every one of those that I've had has humbled me because I feel like I'm the one that's blessed. That's how I feel about it. I feel like I'm the one that's blessed to be here. I'm the one that's blessed to be among these people. And, I have lived in different places. Many of you have lived in different places. We have traveled from place to place. I know that those, Brother Strode, Brother Hayes, those that have gone out singing have been to many different churches. Our preacher brothers, we meet many wonderful people along the way when we travel through this life. Maybe we take a vacation or something like that. We meet people along the way, but there's just nobody like God's people, is there? It's nobody like the Lord's people. Something special. And that is God dwelling within us. That's all that it is. The only thing good about you and I is what God put in there. That's it. Laban said, I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. My life has been blessed. Thank God. My life has been blessed by people that God has brought my way. By people through the providence of God. That's how I look at it. You read the epistles of Paul, and you'll find something that Paul would commonly do when he wrote his epistles, was that he would commonly express a thankfulness for the people that he was writing them to. He expressed a thankfulness to the people there at Rome when he wrote to them. He expressed a thankfulness to Timothy when he wrote to him. He expressed a thankfulness for Titus when he wrote to him. I believe Paul loved those men. I believe they were near and dear to his heart. I believe they, in many respects, they were like Jonathan and David were. Their souls were knit together. You read the tender words that the Apostle Paul would write to them and the way that he would address them. He called them his sons, his dear sons in the faith. I believe Paul was thankful that he knew Timothy. He was thankful that he knew Titus. I believe they were thankful that they knew him. And I'm thankful for those along the way in my life that God has given to me. I love you people. I always hope that I always hope that people will know that I love them without me having to say it. Don't you? Love's better felt than it is told. And I hope that people will be able to know that. You know, that's what the Lord wanted us to do, wasn't it? He wanted us to love each other. I mean, he wanted us as his children to love each other as people, to the point that that love would shine and people would be able to know that we are his own people by the love that we show for each other. He wanted people to be able to see that that God has taken us and sown our souls together, knitted them together. And I hope that we can show that type of love to the world. But I want to say as well, and I want you to know as well, that that I have a great love for you. It's a strange thing to me, not having been here that long, but be able to feel that I've known you all my life. God is good. God not only has given us the privilege of knowing his son, but he's given us the privilege of being together, of knowing each other. You know, we could have been anywhere in this big world, couldn't we? We could have been born into all different types of circumstances. There's people out there, many people out there, that they need to know what we know. They need to be told. We need to be witnesses. They need to be told about this, about what we have, about what we feel. They need to hear about it. They need to be brought in. They need to meet the people of God. They need to come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. We've certainly got a big job to do. But there have been those in my life, many of those. As I said earlier, some of them are dead and gone, that I thank God today, as I stand before you here, I thank God today that I had the privilege of knowing them. I've got a great-great-grandfather whose body is laying in a grave in Monroe County, Kentucky, there at Skaggs Creek Cemetery. Never got to meet him. He was a preacher, Baptist preacher. Never got to meet him, never got to know him. But I'm glad for what he stood for, glad for what he did, and I'm glad to know that someday, not here in this land, but there is a land where I'll get to meet him. One of these days I'll get to meet him, I'll get to know him in that way. And I'm sure glad for those. I'll tell you what, I would be a sad person today. You really stop and think about it. I would be a sad, sad person today if those people who have passed through the scenes of life, those whom I have encountered and known along my journey, I'd be a sad person today if I had no hope of ever seeing any of them again. I don't know how I'd deal with that, to be honest with you. But I'm thankful for the hope that's laid up in heaven for God's people, that when we don't get to be together here anymore, we will get to be together in heaven forever. That's a great thought to me and a great comfort to my soul. I'm thankful for your attention today. I just hope that something was said that was beneficial to you in some way.